12. This portion we'll be looking at tonight. We're continuing our series, Blessed is the Man. And as we've been looking at, we see that God wants to bless us as His people. He desires to do so in so many different ways. And so much the key is being in a place where He can bless us, being in a position where He can give us what He would desire to do. And if we're not serving Him, if we're not where we should be, then we miss out on a lot of the blessings. And as we learned last week, sometimes we get out of the way. He chastens us to get back in the way so that we would be back in the position of being blessed of Him by his Spirit, by His presence, by so many other things. So we want to see Psalm 112, and we're going to read the entire psalm, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 112, in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation up the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arriveth light, in the darkness he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the instruction that it gives, the challenge that it gives to our lives. We just pray you would bless us through your word tonight. Help that we would be in a position that we could be blessed of you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see in verse 1 where it makes it very clear, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." That essentially there's two things mentioned here, that one that fears the Lord and one that delights greatly in his commandments. When we think of the fear of the Lord, we think of the idea of respect, of reverence, of awe, that we honor him for who he is, for his greatness, for his majesty, that he is God, that we are not, that we give him the honor that is due unto him. We see in Psalm 128, it reiterates this same idea. It says, Psalm 128, verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." And so we understand that with the fear the Lord becomes blessing. And this is something that we don't necessarily understand, or it isn't something that's generally a focus of much thought. I remember one time we were traveling, I guess it was on our way down to Spokane in BC, and it was this one place, it was, I forget what they sold, but it was called God-Fearing Brothers, and that was the name of this group. But it's not something that you see that emphasized too much, but we see in the scriptures that it's emphasized a lot, just the whole idea of having a fear of God. And we think, well, He is our friend, a friend that sticketh close to a brother. He loves us. Why do we need to fear him? But we want to understand that we need to have the proper perspective of God. Kind of what we looked at in Sunday school this morning with Isaiah, that he had a vision of God. He saw a proper perspective of him, that he realized who God was and who he was in comparison. And it gives us the proper perspective of life so that we can govern our affairs properly. And we see in Psalm 111 in verse 10, the verse just before the one that we just began with, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." And we want to understand that idea, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That if we have the proper awe of God, the proper perspective of God, it has an effect on us, that we will follow after wisdom, because we want to honor Him with our life. We want to bring glory to Him. It's the idea that if we, as well, it speaks that Psalm 16 and verse 6, or no, actually Proverbs 16 verse 6 rather, it says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." And you can kind of think of it that sort of throughout the scriptures, it's kind of, it forms a triangle. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, and the departing from evil. Because you think of it that if God is who He is, that He is the God of heaven and earth, that He holds our breath in our hands, that we're naturally going to depart from evil if we understand who He is. That for us as humans to defy Him, to rebel against Him, is honestly a very dangerous thing to do. We understand from the scriptures it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And so when we fear the Lord, it causes us to depart from evil, because we know that there is a punishment to come if we do not. And we recognize that someone that is wise, that if they pursue after evil, it will be to their destruction. And so if they follow the fear of the Lord, if they depart from evil, it'll save them a lot of trouble. It says in another place in the Psalms, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And so when we fear the Lord, it gets us on the right place. So often, if we're learning to be wise, it's a matter of staying out of trouble before we get into it. We can think of times when we were young that kind of we'd get right in the middle of it and then have to try to find our way out of it. And sometimes we would, and sometimes we wouldn't do as well as we'd hope. But if we, once we get the sense, as we mature, just that's something I should just stay away from, then it gets us in a lot better position. And if we follow after wisdom, we avoid the pitfalls of life, we avoid the chastening of God, and we get into a place where God can bless us. And there's a lot of different things that we want to see quickly of that are, things that are associated with the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25 and verse 14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." It's the idea that there is a closeness with the Lord when we fear Him, when we honor Him, when we serve Him with reverence and godly fear. That He, even though we understand that He is our God, and through Christ we can boldly go before the throne of grace, yet we still honor Him for who He is. That we don't take for granted our relationship. We don't abuse the grace that He has shown and mercy that He has shown unto us. That we honor Him as our Father. He is the potter, we are the clay, and we are to put ourselves in His hands. And as we do that, that He declares unto us these things that are secret, these things that are not readily understood, that He wants to share Himself with us in a way beyond what we understand. We see also Psalm 33 and verse 8. It says, not sure if that's the one I was looking for. It's It says of all, that all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. Psalm 34, verse 7 is maybe the one I'm looking for. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That when we fear the Lord, that's the idea of God's watch, care, and protection over us. That when we fear him, that he is going to look out for us. That he is going to protect us. And it's that sense, if we're not fearing the Lord, if we're pursuing after foolishness, really we're getting ourselves in a position that the Lord can't really be going with us, can't really be protecting us in that way. We see also Psalm 34, verse 9, says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That the Lord, if we fear the Lord, if we seek after him, we shall not want any good thing, that he will provide for us. We see also Psalm 103 and verse 17, where it says, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And that's the blessing, that we know that his mercy endureth forever, and it says it's upon them that fear him. And so we want to be considered among those that fear him, that follow after him, that seek to live the Christian life as we ought to. Proverbs 19 and verse 23, it says, The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And we realize that if we fear the Lord, we depart from evil, and so it keeps us out of different pitfalls that can get us into serious trouble. We see from this verse as well that if we fear the Lord, we will have a satisfaction in our life, that we will not be seeking after anything else, that the Lord will provide satisfaction, and also that we shall not be visited with evil, again, that he will protect us. And Proverbs 14 and verse 27, it says, The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And as we fear him, is that affects the decisions that we make, that we, in all that we do, that we seek to honor and glorify him. That is a fountain of life to us. It prevents us from falling into these snares that the devil seeks to put us in. And so we see that definitely from the scriptures, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That as we fulfill this, that God honors us as we honor him, that he bestows his blessing upon us. But then we see also the second phrase of that first verse of Psalm 112, Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That we are to delight in the law of the Lord. This was the first one we looked at. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That we are to follow after his commandments. And it's the idea that commandments are things that the Lord gives us. They're more than just kind of recommendations or requests or kind of ideas for us. Commandments are things that we are to obey, things that we are to be governed by, that they are to guide our life, and that we are to delight greatly in them. Not to be begrudging in them, not to do them just because we have to, but when we delight in them, we are pleased to obey and follow the Lord, that we are blessed because of that. We see Psalm 119 in different places. Psalm 119 and verse 77, it says, Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for that thy law is my delight. That we see also in verse 92, Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. That just is the same with the fear of the Lord, that when we follow after that it tends to life. It delivers us from affliction. When we delight in the commandments of the Lord, we follow it. It keeps us from that as well. That when the Lord commands us something, It's for a reason. It's just as you would think with a parent when, I know with our own kids, you tell them to go outside, it's like, well, put your boots on. And of course, sometimes as kids, they're in such a rush to go outside that they don't. And then they step on something or something happens, and then they realize why they should have done what they were told. And that's so often what happens, is that Lord gives us command and we hear it, but we don't necessarily put it into practice. And then sometimes we find out later, well, that's why he told me to do that. That's why he gave me this direction, this principle in his word. And so I need to learn from that. So when we take pleasure, when we delight greatly in his commandments, we take pleasure in them, we find joy in them, we actually seek pleasure in following and obeying the Lord. That's kind of our pursuit of our life, is finding out what it is that God wants us to do. When we have a decision to make, that we pray unto the Lord, we find out, okay, Lord, show me from your scriptures what you would have me to do in this area, what principles I can take from the scriptures and apply to this decision so that I can make the right decision. And once we find out what the will of the Lord is, then we embrace it and we follow it, and we expect that the Lord will work all things out and bless us in that. And that's kind of the thought, that there's so many other things in this world that men and women seek to have fine pleasure in, but they pursue it and it doesn't provide that. But when we delight greatly in his commandments, when we find pleasure and delight in doing his will, that's when we find true satisfaction. We try to find true pleasure in that. And it's the idea of delighting to obey, that it's not that we have to, but instead the idea that we get to, that we think of following the Lord, that it is not a burden, not a just a duty that we have to fulfill, not just an obligation, but it is a privilege that we can follow him, that we are taken out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light, we are adopted as his children, and that now we are to be his children, we are to do his will, we are to be his ambassadors, that in all of this, that we find our delight in that, that it's not something, oh, I have to, it's the idea, no, I get to, this is exciting, this is just that the Lord allows me to have a part in that. And it's some that we think of it, and I think what we can glean, if we glean nothing else out of this passage, it's the idea that so often the blessings that we receive or the blessings that we miss out on can be dependent upon the attitude that we have, our approach to life. That sometimes as believers we do what we're supposed to do, whether it's just out of duty or whether because we know, well, if we do something else, it's going to kind of cause us a lot of grief, but there's not that joy, there's not that pleasure in it, there's not that reverence and awe of God that we had. And when we miss out on that, we miss out on the blessings, but the Lord sees our attitude and he wants to get us to a place where we are having the right attitude, that we do things for the right reasons. And when we do that, he wants to be able to pour out a blessing more than we would receive. And so it's getting our perspective right, giving him honor and glory, staying from evil, delighting in his word, being excited about serving the Lord, that we see him, we're in such an awe of him that we love him, we adore him, whatever he commands us we want to do. We want to serve the Lord with our whole heart, that as we do that, we can expect the blessing of the Lord. And we see from this passage just the numerous blessings that are promised. We see, first of all, verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And we could think of this in terms of a physical seed, certainly, of fruitfulness. We kind of see the passage we read in Psalm 128 about children being like olive branches or olive trees round about his table. But I want to think of it in terms as well of spiritual fruit, the spiritual seed, that if we fear the Lord, if we delight greatly in his commandments, if we're following after him, that there can be great fruitfulness to our life by the fruit we bear in others' lives, as we witness to them, as we are an example and a testimony to them, that we may not see it necessarily in our lifetime, that perhaps our life will just be a matter of planting the seed, but maybe later on that we will find there is a great harvest, that there is this that seed shall be mighty upon the earth of different people that we have affected, whose lives we have changed. I remember with Pastor Ironside's funeral a year or so ago that seen a lot of different people that he had been an example to, had an opportunity to witness to, and they did not come to know the Lord before he passed from this world, but you could see, and even some of the people that some of the family could testify as they talked with them of how the effect that Pastor Ironside had on them, that they knew that he was a true friend. And I think that there's still fruit that's going to be born from his life, from his ministry there, even though he's no longer there. And so that's the thought, that when a person fears the Lord, delights greatly in his commandments, that there's going to be fruit to that. And it can endure far beyond the time that we pass from this life. We can make a great difference. That we think of Mark 4, verse 20, where it's the whole parable of the seed falling on different ground and the seed of the word that falls on that good ground, that it produces abundantly, 60-fold or 100-fold. And that's the idea, that if we fear the Lord, if we delight greatly in his commandments, and this, we're a fertile field, and we want to get to a position where we're like that it's going to produce a great deal, that we think so much of even as we plant our gardens at this time of the year, that we want to make sure that our soil is of the right condition, that some things, if we think nutrients have been depleted, we want to add them so that we can bring forth much fruit. And it's the same with this, that we want to have this, that we fear the Lord, that we delight greatly in his commandments, so that there can be much fruit. We see also verse 3, it speaks of wealth and riches shall be in his house. And we recognize that there can be blessings that the Lord gives in this life and the life to come, that we don't serve him to get riches, but often when he speaks of when we put out into the test, that he pours out a blessing more than we're able to receive. And as we see in this passage, we actually find that the Lord blesses a person with riches often so that they can become a conduit for extending God's blessing to others. That we see of this, that this good man would show favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 9, he hath dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. That it's the thought that the Lord blesses him, but it isn't something that he just covets and hoards, but instead it's something that he gives out, and the Lord is actually enabling him to be a blessing to other people. And we see with so many other things here where it says that there is light in the darkness for a person, that even though those around them have trouble in difficult times making the right decision, that person has light, has direction, knows what to do. And we see verse 6, a stability in their life, that they shall not be moved. Things can happen, but they will not be shaken. His heart is established, he shall not be afraid. That when we fear the Lord, when we put him in the right place in our life, we view him with the right perspective, God promises that he will honor those who honor him. And so with all of this, may we see that as we honor God, where we fear and reverence Him, we serve Him reverentially, we serve Him faithfully, we serve Him cheerfully, not begrudgingly, not of necessity, but that we give of ourselves unto Him, that whatever He says, that we, even though it might be hard, that we just say, well, Lord, You're my Creator, You're my Savior, I belong to You, and I'm going to do what You want me to do, even if it might be hard, even if I don't understand. And as we do that, that the Lord blesses us for obedience, blesses us for a proper attitude in our obedience, and we will see more and more the great blessings that He can give out to us as we are in a place where He can bless us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We just pray You would teach us the fear of the Lord. Teach us how great a delight we have in the commandments of the Lord. Lord, we just ask that You would enable us, that we might serve You more fully, so that we may be blessed of You and through it be a blessing to others. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 257, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, number 257.